Well, the topic that I was led to talk about tonight is about fear. And the title of tonight's message is Freedom from Fear, a Promise of God. Freedom from Fear, a Promise of God. And there is so much information about fear that's out there. And so I don't know if this will end up being a two-message or three-message series, but I wanted to get as much in tonight because there is a lot about it. And I basically want to talk about people being delivered from it. So we're going to look at fear from the Bible perspective and see what the Word says about it. And right now, what seems to be going on all over the world is that there's many people for the past 2 years that have been encountering so many challenges. And the world is, as you know, is we're dealing with the COVID pandemic, and it's affected everybody. And people are affected with fear sometimes, or just challenges on many different levels. People have the fear of getting the virus, dying from it, being physically impaired from it. People have lost loved ones. They've lost jobs. They experience isolation and they fear being alone. We hear about camps in different countries that where people are being put because of not being vaccinated. And we wonder, is that going to happen here? Tornadoes hit across the country and dozens of people were killed. We have crime at an all-time high. There's supply shortages being talked about, and it goes on and on and on. Does it sound like I just said an excerpt from the evening news? It could, all right? But one solution to that is to shut the TV off. Just when it appeared that things were going to get a little bit better and we were getting closer to some degree of normalcy, another variant came along, causing fear to surface and definitely bringing discouragement. People have been like, I'm fed up with this. I've had enough of this. Okay. And yeah, okay. There's no denying it. The COVID virus is a tool that the devil used and is using to kill, steal, and destroy life. But the body of Christ has the name of Jesus and the precious blood of Jesus. The name of Jesus is greater than any name, and that includes a virus. We know from John 10:10, it tells us that Jesus came to give us life and to give it to us more abundantly. Let's turn to John 3:16. I'm going to read that from the Amplified Classic, John 3:16. And you can follow along in whatever translation you have. And it says, "For God so greatly loved and dearly prized the world, that he even gave up his only begotten unique son, so that whoever believes in, trusts in, clings to, relies on him, shall not perish, come to destruction, be lost, but have eternal everlasting life." Never forget, especially during this Christmas season, that God is the greatest giver. And let me say up front, fear does not come from God. And if you are living in fear, you can be delivered and set free. If you are living in fear, you can be delivered and set free. It does not come from God. Now, when we look at fear, there's actually a good fear. There's also a not so good fear. And we're going to look right now at the good fear. And that's called the reverential fear of God. The fear of God that I had growing up was wrong. It was not correct. My fear of God was that he was a tyrant, that he was waiting for me to, you know, do something wrong, excuse me, and then he'd catch me with a fly swatter. And that was my thought, my perception of God. I had no concept of God being love, and that was wrong. So reverential fear of God, I'm going to share this from the Vines, and it's a little wordy, but just follow along with me. Excuse me. Vine speaks of it as a controlling motive of the life in matter, spiritual and moral. Not a mere fear of his power and righteous retribution, but a wholesome dread of displeasing him. A fear that banishes the terror that shrinks from his presence and which influences the disposition and attitude of one whose circumstances are guided by trust in God through the indwelling Spirit of God. It is a holy fear. You mingle the fear of God with love, and when that's combined, it constitutes the piety of man toward God. Reverential fear of God is a fear that one has towards someone in authority. It's a type of godly respect. I think I could, you know, if you looked at reverential fear, I'd say this sums it up the best way to understand it. You fear someone in authority with a godly respect. The word reverent means showing deep and solemn respect. Proverbs 1:7. We look at Proverbs 1:7, and it says, "The fear of the Lord," I'm reading it from the New King James Version, "the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction." The entire book of Proverbs, the whole theme of Proverbs is talking about the fear of God. And the fear of God is connected to wisdom. It's the key to the book of Proverbs, and it's the secret of obtaining genuine wisdom. It's not the terror of a tyrant, but the kind of awe and respect which will lead to obedience to him as the wisest of all. Proverbs 14:26, we'll look at that in the New King James. And it says, "In the fear of the Lord, there is strong confidence, and his children will have a place of refuge." I think we can agree that Jesus is a good example to follow. Amen? Jesus himself did not want to go to Calvary. We can see that. We're going to look at Luke 22:42 from the Passion. Jesus himself agonized in Gethsemane, in the Garden of Gethsemane. And the Passion in Luke 22:42, it says, "Father, if you are willing, take this cup of agony away from me. But no matter what, your will must be mine. Your will must be mine." The word agony there means anguish or torment. Now, we also know that Satan is often called the tormentor. And fear and agony will do that. It is torment. The prayer of Jesus in Gethsemane was that the Father's will would be done. And his prayer was answered through godly fear or reverent submission to God's will. So the fear of God will lead you to obedience, just as it did Jesus. The fear of God will lead you to obedience. And unfortunately today, there's a lot of people who don't know Jesus, who don't know God, and don't have that reverential fear of authority, and so it's not going to bode well in that regard. Let's look at Proverbs 28:14. Proverbs 28:14 in the New King James. "Happy is the man who is always reverent, but he who hardens his heart will fall into calamity." Happy is the man who is always reverent, but he who hardens his heart will fall into calamity. Now, I'm sure you've heard of the acronym of fear in the past, F-E-A-R, false evidence appearing real. So basically what that's saying is that fear is something that's not real. It's an evidence that's there, but it's not real. In Greek, the word for fear is phobos, and that's where we get the word phobia. People have phobias of things. A fear of height, a fear of being, you know, in a crowd. They have all kinds of phobias that people have developed, and many times it's overwhelming for them. So that which is another definition about fear is that which is caused by being scared, which may cause flight, terror, and dread. So fear is used to torment people, making them feel powerless and alone. It's a spiritual force, and it will torment people. So because we know that God said he would never leave us or forsake us, and therefore we would never be alone, any time you feel lonely or alone, just start talking to the Lord. Amen. Just because you can't see him doesn't mean he isn't present. In fact, as a born-again Christian, he's not only with us, but he's in us. The creator of the universe resides in you. Amen. So fear is from the devil. Right straight out, right up front. Fear is from the devil, and it is orchestrated by him to destroy you. That is being blunt. And it is one of his tools used against us to make us miserable. So fear begins with a thought. The thought then goes to our emotions, and then our emotions, in many cases, can rule us. It often becomes a stronghold, an intense feeling that tries to move us to make a foolish decision or tries to prevent us from doing something that would be good for us. So fear can be manipulated by the enemy. Fear can even stop you in your tracks. And I believe that fear is behind indecision. We have the Holy Spirit in us who will lead us into all truth. So if you are unable to make a decision, the answer is simple. Pray in the Holy Spirit and spend time in the Word. Because the Holy Spirit will give you the guidance and the direction to make the decision. And what you want to do is basically wait until you have a peace about your decision and the choice you make. So let's look at Proverbs 23, verse 7. Proverbs 23, verse 7, again in the New King James. And it says, for as he thinks in his heart, so is he. In the Amplified, it says, where the mind goes, the man follows. So fear begins with a thought. Let's look at Job 3:25. Job 3:25. This is something everybody used to talk about, what happened to Job and why it happened and so forth. But we hear that he had fear. And he says it himself in Job 3:25. I'm going to read it from the New Living. What I always feared has happened to me. What I dreaded has come true. So in this verse, Job had a fear that eventually came to pass because he focused on it. He had a fear that eventually came to pass because he focused on it. So we're going to talk about dealing with those thoughts and how to get rid of them. We need to learn that if we find ourselves focusing on something negative and being fearful about it, it could come to pass. But we have to intervene and deal with it immediately. We need to remember that our feelings and emotions should not be allowed to control our minds. Our spirit is the one that should control the mind. When we are in the flesh, our mind is going to want to go down a certain path, but our spirits are to be driving the ship. So our feelings and emotions should not be allowed to control our minds. We are to renew our minds on the Word of God and let His promises be in control. So never blame God for fear. Listen to the promises. Listen to His promises instead. It's never God's fault. So we're going to look at 2 Timothy 1:7. I'm going to read it in the New King James, the Voice, and the Passion. The 2 Timothy 1:7, it says, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. God has given us power, love, and a sound mind, not the spirit of fear. And the Voice says it this way. You see, God did not give us a cowardly spirit, but a powerful, loving, and disciplined spirit. And the Passion says it this way, for God will never give you the spirit of fear, but the Holy Spirit who gives you mighty power, love, and self-control. So we see in the Bible so many times, and it actually tells us in the Bible to fear not, somewhere around 365 times. Fear not. It's like almost one for every day. Fear not. So fear doesn't come from God. And if you find yourself in that situation, afraid, fearing things, back up and get into the Word. Let's look at 1 John 4:18. 1 John 4:18, and I'm going to read that in New King James, New Living, and then the Passion. And it says, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. And as I said, one of Satan's names is the tormentor. Fear involves torment. Some people who live in fear and have these phobias for different conditions, they're tormented. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. Let's listen to it in the New Living. Such love has no fear, because perfect love expels all fear. Fear and love. What they're basically saying here is, can't have one and the other one be there at the same time. It's one or the other. If we're afraid, it is for fear of punishment, and this shows that we have not fully experienced his perfect love. Listen to it in the Passion. Love never brings fear, for fear is always related to punishment. But love's perfection drives the fear of punishment far from our hearts. Whoever walks constantly afraid of punishment has not reached love's perfection. Well, okay, God himself is love, and he loves us unconditionally. All punishment that we deserved was put on Jesus. So if punishment or fear of punishment is going on in your mind, okay, it's not from God. All punishment already was put on Jesus. So you need to replace that and see how important it is to understand the love of God. No matter how traumatized one has been with fear, it is possible to become completely free from it, delivered, set free. You can be free from things. There's so many people. I remember at the women's conference, I think it was Pastor Yessie who shared that, you know, she had these fears and God delivered her from it. If perfect love casts out fear, then one needs to ask themselves, do I know and truly believe that God loves me? You have to ask yourself that, because you can know that God is love, but you have to be able to believe it, that he loves you. 1 John 4:16 is the scripture that I always go to, because that's important. You have to both know and believe that God loves you. The end result is that love will override fear. So every time you are in fear about something, read scriptures on love. You can read scriptures about the fact that fear is not from God, but read scriptures on love, and eventually that fear will disappear. The more time you spend meditating on the scriptures in any area that you have fear in or it's a problem, okay, the sooner you will find that the issue disappears. It dissolves. So when you seek the Lord, you can be certain that fear will have no place in your life. Psalm 34:4. Let's read that one. Psalm 34:4. That's a great one. I sought the Lord and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. Not some, not a few, all my fears. I sought the Lord and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. When you seek him, you can be guaranteed that fear will have no place in your life. In the Passion, it says, listen to my testimony. I cried to God in my distress and he answered me. He freed me from all my fears. So again, I said it, I'll say it again. No matter how traumatized somebody has been from a fear, it is possible to be delivered and completely free from it. Many do not know that Satan is behind fear, and they will make a decision to do something that they will come to regret simply because they didn't wait to get a peace inside of them that gives them a green light. So the enemy pushes, the enemy's always pushing, do this, hurry up, okay? But the Holy Spirit guides and leads. So we talked about the reverential fear of God, and here's a wrong kind of fear. And this kind of fear is fear of people. Without the fear of God, one will become a people pleaser. Without the fear of God, you will become a people pleaser. So, okay, we saw that Jesus in the garden basically obeyed God. He knew that this was important, that had to be done. Okay, so as difficult as it was, he obeyed God and he didn't care about what people thought or saw. And as I was looking at this, I also was thinking of Joseph. When Joseph was in Potiphar's home and his wife was trying to get him to sleep with him and grabbed his shirt and everything, he didn't care what man thought. He did not want to offend or be out of line with God. He didn't want to be disobedient with God. And so that's the integrity, but that's also what obedience to God will do. So a wrong kind of fear is fear of people. Without the fear of God, one will become a people pleaser. They won't have confidence in anything they do. They are constantly going to be looking to others for approval. People pleasers, okay? People pleaser is that's the area you're in. Your fear of God, your reverential fear of God is down here or not at all. So that mental frame of mind will mess up your life. You will be torn between doing what you know God wants you to do, which is the right thing, and torn to do what somebody else is telling you to do, missing God by a mile. And I think of the example for this is peer pressure. So young people are sometimes coerced by someone to do something they know is wrong. They may join a gang. And because they are afraid of being rejected by their peers, they do it and regret their decision. And sometimes they end up in prison the rest of their life. Now, I would only could assume that some of you out there would never do these kinds of things, okay? But think of the times you heard of others, or you yourself may have tried, you did drugs or alcohol, smoking, had unprotected sex that led to pregnancy, all because you feared what someone else thought of you and you didn't want to be rejected. You wanted to be accepted. So it is simply the intimidation of adversaries. People will intimidate you. You step into fear and out of the reverential fear of God. A true friend or someone who truly loves you will not coerce you to do something that is not for your benefit. In fact, they will encourage you to do the right thing. They would be the one, a true friend, that would talk you out of trying to do something to please somebody else. So let's look at the Israelites when they were spying out the land of Canaan, and Joshua and Caleb had a very different report. Let's look at Numbers 14, verse 9. We're going to look at it in the New King James. Numbers 14, verse 9. And they had the 12 spies went out. And as you know, 10 came back with the negative report. Joshua and Caleb were the only ones that had anything positive to say about it. And one of the things they said in verse 9 was, only do not rebel against God, nor fear the people of the land, for they are our bread. Their protection has departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Do not fear them. So let me say it again. They tell them, do not rebel against the Lord, nor fear the people. But they did exactly that. The fear of the people, the fear that they experienced about this whole process overrode the fact that God had already told them that he would deliver them and that he had was giving them the land of Canaan. And I think it's sad. It's so obvious that, you know, they feared the people more than they did God, but they had witnessed all that God did to deliver them out of Egypt. So having seen that, you would have thought that they would have been right on, that all 12 of them would have come back with the same attitude as Joshua and Caleb. So unfortunate, it didn't. So fear can make you do some dumb things. Fear can make you frozen in your tracks that you don't do something. Okay? So looking at the world and just looking at things on television, the marketing world uses this tactic all the time. I have a friend who's doing her Christmas shopping on QVC. And as you know, one of their tactics in marketing is, we only have 520 of those left. And everybody's calling, the phones are, you know, if you don't buy it now, you're going to lose it. You're going to lose out. And so they push you, you know, they want you to be afraid that you're going to miss out. And so they use fear to, of course, make the money, all right? But they're trying to push people into doing something that they really don't want to do. What God offers us in Christ is not a sales gimmick. Salvation is offered to everyone free of charge. There's no better deal than that. Our sins are forgiven and we spend eternity with Him. That's the best deal you could ever get. Fear is the opposite of faith. Faith needs to be fed regularly so it doesn't grow weak. And God wants us to walk by faith, but Satan wants us to walk by fear. So he tries to give us these things to think about to throw us off track. Faith does not deny the reality or difficulty. We're not denying COVID. We're not denying the issues that are confronting people because of it. But faith declares the power of God in the face of the problem. I said, faith declares the power of God in the face of the problem. So let's look at some of the tactics of the enemy and how we should deal with them, because the Word of God has the answer. It always does. First, since he uses our minds to plant the fear in us, let's renew our minds. We need to renew our minds. So let's look at Romans 12, verse 2. I'm reading that in the New King James first and then the Passion. Romans 12, 2. Familiar scripture. Most of you know about that scripture. And it says, and do not be conformed to this world. Do not be conformed to the world. There's so many people that are getting, and even in the body of Christ, that are getting sucked into the things of the world. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Notice there's three stages here. Good, acceptable, perfect will. I would much rather be in the perfect will of God all the time. Listen to it in the Passion. Stop imitating the ideals and opinions of the culture around you. Stop imitating the ideals and opinions of the culture around you, but be inwardly transformed by the Holy Spirit through a total reformation of how you think. This will empower you to discern God's will as you live a beautiful life, satisfying and perfect in His eyes. Okay, so there's things that are going on in the world, and we have to make sure that we are not imitating these things, but that we are looking to the Word. And when we look to the Word and we have this transformation that's going on, okay, we will be able to walk out of or away from any fears. So people are renewing their mind on the news instead of the Word of God. And I know several people who have just made choices that not to watch the news, and they, if they're going to watch anything, they maybe pick up some things online, or if they're going to watch something on television, they watch the Christian channels. Meditation simply means that you take a scripture and you roll it over and over and over in your mind until it becomes a part of you. So I'll use Brother Hagin as an example. When he was on his deathbed and bedridden, he got a hold of Mark 11, 22, 23, 24, and he read those scriptures over and over and over. So that information of the Word became, all of a sudden, revelation. Okay? So that revelation got him off the deathbed. And it's the same thing for us. Meditation will take information, which is the Word of God, and we turn it around, and then all of a sudden it becomes revelation. So you've heard this. You can read a scripture once, okay? Read it, maybe the 10th time or 100th time, and then all of a sudden something explodes that gives you a revelation that you never saw before. So once you get the revelation of what God's Word says, it will change you from the inside out, and then you'll be free. You'll be free, or you'll be healed, you'll be transformed. Whatever it is, that process of meditation and revelation will bring about the freedom. So once you get the revelation, you are no longer controlled by fear. So another way to deal with fear is to cast down vain imaginations. Let's turn to 2 Corinthians 10:5, and I'm going to read it in the New King James and the Passion. 2 Corinthians 10:5, New King James. It says, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. That's what Jesus did. He didn't want to go through Calvary, but he knew that he had to be obedient. We bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Listen to it in the Passion. This is, I love the way it's put together in this. It says, we can demolish every deceptive fantasy that opposes God and break through every arrogant attitude that is raised up in defiance of the true knowledge of God. We capture, like prisoners of war, every thought and insist that it bow in obedience to the Anointed One. Let me go through that slowly. Let's park here a little bit. We can demolish. So we get to make the choice. We decide what we're going to do with those negative thoughts. Once we realize that what we are thinking about is not good, for whatever reason, we decide how to handle it. We're in the driver's seat. It says we can demolish every deceptive fantasy that opposes God and break through every arrogant attitude that is raised up in defiance of the true knowledge of God. We capture, you do that, I do that. We capture, like prisoners of war, every thought and insist that it bow in obedience to the Anointed One. So if you are listening to something that's upsetting, or you walk into a room and there's a conversation going on and it's not good, shut off the television, walk out of the room. It's that simple. Stop what you're doing and change course. Do something else. Read the Word. Listen to a CD. Go for a walk. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Visit a friend. Call and encourage somebody that's going through a challenging time. You can also use your authority and say, I will not listen to you, Satan, and I will not be in fear. Shut him down immediately. Shut him down immediately. The longer you engage the enemy, the greater chance he will have to trick you and get you over into fear. You know, the thoughts are there, and then, you know, immediately get him out. Kick him out. Quote the scripture back to him. 2 Timothy 1:7, for God has not given me the spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. Satan, the word is saying this. Get out of here. Leave me alone. Get in his face and he will leave you. We are told to resist the devil and he will flee. When Jesus was tempted by the devil, the Bible tells us that he quoted scriptures back. We saw it in, I think it's Matthew 4:4. It is written. And he kept saying that. Every time the enemy came to him with some thought, and he had been without food for 40 days, he just answered, it is written, it is written, it is written. And it says that the devil left him for a season. We know he came back, but he did leave. Let's turn to Psalm 23, verse 4. I'm going to read that in the New King James. Psalm 23, verse 4. And it says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Let's say that again. Yea, though I walk through. When you are experiencing something in life and it's not a pleasant event, you walk through that valley of the shadow of death. You don't park there. Don't stay there. Don't get stuck there. That's exactly what the enemy wants. He wants you to just stay there and just be beaten up instead of going through. So don't park in that valley of shadow death. Keep going. Walk out. Walk out. And it says, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. That's the key, folks, is that we have the reverential fear of God. He's with us. We know that. He'll never leave us or forsake us. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. In the Old Testament, it says he's with us, you're with me. But in the New Testament, he's in us. That's a difference. The Old Testament didn't have what we are blessed to have. He's in us. I want to read Psalm 91, and then we'll be closing. back when I had taught about stay vertical and stay victorious, in one of the first or second messages we talked about, because at that time there was a lot going on also, and I love the Passion Translation of Psalm 91, and I just want to encourage you with it. I hope that you can find the time to read Psalm 91 daily, because it will set you free. It will set you free. So Psalm 91 from the Passion, it's entitled Safe and Secure. And this was spiritual warfare with the Jews back then. And this is what was written. And we know it from the King James, but I love how the Passion deals with it. When you sit enthroned under the shadow of Shaddai, you are hidden in the strength of God Most High. Your position is hidden. He's the hope that holds me and the stronghold to shelter me. You're hidden and you're sheltered. The only God for me and my great confidence. Verse 3, he will rescue you from every hidden trap of the enemy. He will rescue you from every hidden trap of the enemy. And trap there is something that you can't see. And he will protect you from false accusation and any deadly curse. Galatians 3:13, we've been redeemed from the curse of the law. Verse 4, his massive arms are wrapped around you, protecting you. You can run under his covering of majesty and hide. His arms of faithfulness are a shield, keeping you from harm. Verse 5, you will never worry about an attack of demonic forces at night, nor have to fear a spirit of darkness coming against you. Verse 6, don't fear a thing. Don't fear a thing. If you are experiencing fear for or over anything, read this psalm. Don't fear a thing. Whether by night or by day, demonic danger will not trouble you, nor will the powers of evil launched against you. Even in a time of disaster with thousands and thousands being killed, you will remain unscathed and unharmed. You will be a spectator as the wicked perish in judgment, for they will be paid back for what they have done. Verse 9. When we live our lives within the shadow of God Most High, our secret hiding place, we will always be shielded from harm. How then could evil prevail against us or disease infect us? Let me repeat that one. How then could evil prevail against us or disease infect us? And yes, people are going to get disease and virus, but you'll get through it. You'll walk through that valley. Verse 11, God sends angels with special orders to protect you wherever you go, defending you from all harm. If you walk into a trap, they'll be there for you and keep you from stumbling. You'll even walk unharmed among the fiercest powers of darkness, trampling every one of them beneath your feet. For here's what the Lord has spoken to me. Because you have delighted in me as my great lover, I will greatly protect you. I will set you in a high place, safe and secure before my face. Verse 15, I will answer your cry for help every time you pray, and you will find and feel my presence even in your time of pressure and trouble. I will be your glorious hero and give you a feast. Verse 16, in the King James, verse 16 says, with long life will I satisfy thee and show thee my salvation. Long life, long life. And it says in this translation, verse 16, you will be satisfied with a full life and with all that I do for you will enjoy the fullness of my salvation. People should not be leaving here early. God has promised us long life. Amen. So I'm hoping that if any of you have been challenged with fear, that some of these scriptures and options of how to deal with it will be helpful for you and get you through some challenging times. God wants you delivered and set free. The Christian world, the body of Christ, will not be attacked as it has been like this. The church is rising up and pushing back. The gates of hell will not prevail against the church. They will not, in Jesus' name. So as we conclude, if there's anyone out there that's listening tonight and you've never made Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior, I would just like for you to pray this prayer and repeat after me. And we do have options for people to write in or email, correct? That's available. Yeah, that'll be made available for you so that if you've never done this, we'd like to get you started in the right direction and give you some information how to get started. So just say this prayer with me. Say, "Dear God, I believe that Jesus Christ is your Son. I believe that he was crucified, died, buried, and rose on the third day. Jesus, come into my heart, be my Savior and Lord, take over my life, and forgive me for anything, any sin I've ever done. Thank you that I now have eternal life with you. Amen." So there is information available for you. The word tells us, Romans 10:9, if we confess with our mouth and believe in our heart that Jesus was raised from the dead, we have eternal life. So we'll have that information available for you so you can write in or call in to get the information.